But it's not just about the airframes we fly. It's the people who operate them, and it's the culture of response we operate within. And it's demonstrated through many, many events over those 100 years of Coast Guard aviation history. Like, for instance, and you saw a little bit in the video, and the video blanked out a little bit, but the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, where Coast Guard air crews and Coast Guard conducted the largest search and rescue operation in the United States history, and certainly in the history of our 226 years of Coast Guard. Of all the things from a national perspective that went wrong about Hurricane Katrina, it was the Coast Guard's response that shone brightly as the thing that went right. And the Katrina response demonstrated, in my opinion, all the things that are good and right about Coast Guard aviation. You know, in those fateful days in August and September 2005, more than 12,000 lives were saved by Coast Guard air crews. And that's out of the 30,000 total that were saved by the United States Coast Guard. And as we have always done throughout our history, and we've proved this time and time again, we don't wait to be told to go. We just go. And Coast Guard air crews were overhead the devastated Mississippi coastal communities and New Orleans, conducting rescues before that storm had even passed. And the utter devastation that those air crews ran into would have been overwhelming to most. But to those Coast Guard air crews, they simply saw a search and rescue mission. Now, it was a pretty big search and rescue mission, I get that. But a rescue mission nonetheless. And within hours, Coast Guard air crews and aircraft from every Coast Guard air station in the United States, the 27 that are spread out across our country, descended upon the Gulf Coast and got to the business of saving lives. You know, a typical Coast Guard Dolphin helicopter crew that might be operating out of Mobile during Katrina, working rescue operations over Mississippi or New Orleans, might have consisted of an aircraft commander from Mobile, a co-pilot from Air Station Detroit, a flight mechanic from Air Station Los Angeles, and maybe a rescue swimmer from Kodiak, Alaska. It was the ultimate pickup game. These crews had never trained together, or for that matter, they had never even met each other before the mission brief. Yet they flew together for hours under some of the most demanding conditions experienced in our service's history and returned to their home base high-fiving after saving 150 lives each. It was an extraordinary testament to our standardization and our training programs in the Coast Guard. And then there was the adaptability piece, the flexibility piece, and the on-scene initiative of our crews. You know, when our air crews found people trapped in their attics, it was something we did not expect. We had no way of cutting through those rooftops. Quite frankly, we do water rescues. You know, we don't bring chainsaws and axes along with us to go do our work. We didn't have that capability. But within hours, our Coast Guard air crews adapted to the situation. They finding axes and chainsaws wherever they could find them, lowering rescue swimmers to raid abandoned fire trucks in New Orleans to pick up the fire axes, convincing somehow, probably with their charm, hardware store managers to open up and provide us with chainsaws. Whatever it took, but hundreds of people are alive today out of that 12,000 because Coast Guard aviation crews simply adapted to the situation and found a way to make it work. And you know, most importantly, and the thing that I would tell you to take away from why we're a little different in the Coast Guard is that we empower our people to do that sort of thing. We allow them to change the plan. We tell them that they need to use their, what we call, on-scene initiative to make it work. And we let them do that, and we encourage them. And by the way, if they fail, we don't make it a career-ending failure. This is what we do. This is why I have been so proud to be part of Coast Guard Aviation for my entire career. You know, I could go on talking about different missions we've done over our history, but in fact, the men and women flying Coast Guard aircraft conduct miraculous and heroic rescues every day. And by the way, I know that because they are airborne right now in my district, my 26-state region, flying rescue missions as we speak. It happens every day, and the difference between Coast Guard aviators and other military aviators is that it is the real deal, 24/7, 365 for them. It's like the box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be something tough, and they do it every day. You know, our Coast Guard aviation fleet consists of about 200 aircraft. We have 102 Dolphins, 44 Jayhawks, or sometimes we call them T-Hawks now, 18 Ocean Sentry aircraft, HC-144s. We're bringing online 13 new HC-27 Spartan fixed-wing aircraft. And, of course, we have the venerable HC-130 Hercules, the H and J models in our inventory. And these aircraft are stationed across 27 air stations. We're talking about the continental U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico. And by the way, Coast Guard helicopter aviation detachments deploy aboard our Coast Guard cutters and other ships all the way from the Caribbean to the Bering Sea, from the Arctic to Antarctica. And they save lives every day. You know, just recently, a Coast Guard helicopter crew made national news in a very routine mission for us, but pulling a 17-year-old girl from the surf zone off Tarpon Springs, Florida. It was a day that she went out kayaking and lost her paddle and drifted for over 4 miles and been out in the dark for over 8 hours, wondering whether she was going to live or die. When finally she heard that sound of salvation I talked about, that rotor sound from a Coast Guard H-60 helicopter, she saw the searchlight and the rest of its history, and she was returned to our family yet to live yet another day. Further to the north that exact same day, we had crews from Air Station Cape Cod conducting medical evacuations well offshore of Massachusetts in a horrific storm. They saved two lives in what I would consider to be some unforgiving conditions, but really, really the kind of conditions that our crews routinely operate. You know, it never seems like folks get in trouble in good weather and in the daylight. That's just a rule of Coast Guard operations. And there's other cases out there, plenty of other examples. In my region, the 8th Coast Guard District, we've saved over 20 lives from aviation resources in just the last 2 weeks. Crews risking their lives to save others so others might live. And quite frankly, a lot of those rescues that I just mentioned, you'll never hear about them in the news. That's what we do day in and day out. Search and rescue, saving lives at sea is and always will be in our DNA as Coast Guard aviators. It's part of that 100-year history. And I thank you all for listening to us today and honoring those folks. But it's not always just search and rescue missions where our crews excel. We have H-65, MH-65 helicopters assigned to the National Capital Region and working for the North American Aerospace Defense Command, providing rotary wing air intercept capability to the National Defense Structure. That's right, folks. Coast Guard helicopters flying air defense intercept missions. We've been doing it for 10 years now. We call them the Blackjacks. That's their call sign. And these highly professional, aggressive, 24/7 alert crews have been watching over all of us, flying that mission in the National Capital Region and around our country during major national security events, like some that have recently been going on, you've seen in the news. They've been doing it for over 10 years. We're always out there, and the Blackjacks are always on watch. And down in the Caribbean and the Eastern Pacific, you saw in the video, our helicopter interdiction squadron, Hitron, we call them. They've been using precision marksmen to shoot out engines of go-fast vessels smuggling narcotics since 1999. These guys use a 50-caliber sniper rifle and an M240 machine gun from a moving helicopter against a fast-moving and elusive narcotics smuggling boat. And it's not an easy task. These men and women, these aviator marksmen, are amongst the best in the world. And this year, they're on track to break every maritime interdiction record in the books. 41 smuggling interdictions, netting dozens of arrests, removing 41 metric tons of cocaine from our transit zones. The street value, we're talking about $1.2 billion. It's money taken out of the hands of transnational criminal organizations and helping return rule of law and stability to some of those countries down in Central America. We're working out there every day to do that. Aviation's been a critical enabler to every Coast Guard mission over the last 100 years. And aviation will continue to be a top priority for our organization. Folks, I'm going to wrap it up because I want to get to some questions here, but we in Coast Guard Aviation are looking at a bright future ahead. In our next 100 years, I know that Orville Wilbur and that ground crew, that first ground crew in aviation history, the Coast Guardsmen from Kill Devil Hills, they're going to be looking down on us, and they're going to be very proud of the aviation life-saving legacy that they started way back in 1903. Folks, it's been an honor to spend some time talking tonight. I would rather get into questions now. Thank you very much for your attention, and as we say in the Coast Guard, Semper Paratus.